Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1, we're live.
Listeners, thanks for joining us on Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio with Rasita and Robert. It's June 1st, 2014, and we're broadcasting live from Seattle, Washington and Burbank, California. I'd like to bring on the mic right now my co-host and brother in the martial arts, Sifu Robert Deal. Sifu Bob, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. You know, I'm really excited about tonight's show. We've got some great people on tonight. You know, what's funny, you posted this picture yesterday, and it was of this mean-looking cat, and it said, this is what my face looks like when somebody says they're out of coffee, and I commented, but you're meaner, and one of your karate instructors, Robert Hill, said, Robert does know you.
That's right. Every time I go to Burbank and I wake up and there's no coffee, like immediately, right? I have to like be cool until we get to a Starbucks or something like that. It's like, it's hard to be sociable when without caffeine coursing through my veins. Oh, my goodness.
We have a great show, an amazing show, amazing people. I went to the Martial Arts History Museum today. I've found out and I nominated some people for this year's Honor Society that I was inducted into last year. It's the 6th of September this year, and I nominated some great people, and the nominations end on July 1st, and the acceptance of nominations end on August 1st.
Okay.
That was sort of to give our listeners and maybe other people a heads up. Was that subtle or what?
That was
subtlety was never my subtlety was never my strong suit.
Well, you know, for people that are first hearing it, I guess it's subtle.
Yeah. And, of course, it was really funny. You said something, and I had to bite on it last week. I know how busy you are, and every time you find yourself really busy, you volunteer for something else. Always. And you just make yourself that much busier. So you volunteered to make the video for this year's Masters Hall of Fame. And you were talking about not running out of any time, and then you said, something, I was so dumbfounded by what you said, and anybody that knows you knows what I meant. You said, boy, if only I had a mini-me. And I said,
right.
I thought you were a mini-me. And everybody knows how vertically challenged you are with understanding.
Yes. And you'll notice that that same day I posted that post on Facebook about the 25 challenges that short people have to go through.
Yes.
That's right. All right. Well, looks like we've already got some callers on the line already. So
you're kidding, really?
Yeah, we do. Do you have your studio board up at all?
Yes, I do. I recognize one of the numbers.
All right. Well, let's do birthdays really quick. And after birthdays, if you could do me a favor while I go through health news, if you can like go into the back office and check on those callers, that'd be great. So callers, if you're just now calling in, callers, we'll get to you in just about 3 minutes. So hang tight. Do not hang up. Thank you for pressing one. All right. Let's do our birthdays. What do we got for birthdays there, buddy?
Very good. Well, the first one was a past guest and is one of the original Ninja Turtles. His birthday is today, Nick Palma.
Woohoo!
One of the USCMA board members. USCMAS board members, rather, Jesus Bonilla. His birthday is also today. Hoisin Gracie Jr., one of the Gracie brothers, his birthday is tomorrow. A martial arts promoter and an advocate for martial arts, his birthday is on the 3rd. Mr. Clark Daly out of San Diego, a good friend of my family, the one who loaned us all the extension cords that I loaned out, and thank God I got back. Thank you, James, for giving me my extension cord back since I borrowed it. Mr. James Ketter, and I had to do that because he happens to be on the line. Mr. James Ketter, his birthday is the 3rd. Grandmaster, old-time martial artist, his birthday is on the 6th. Grandmaster James DeMille.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, that is very cool. And one of the ambassadors to the Masters Hall of Fame, Dr. Alonzo Jones out of Las Vegas. His birthday is the 7th of June. Happy birthday to all.
Wow, right on. That's quite a lineup of birthdays. So for all of them and for everyone else having a birthday this week, this tune's for you. Have a great birthday week. That goes for everyone having a birthday this week, June 1st through the 7th. All right, let's go on to our health and fitness news, because I don't have any shout-outs. Do you, Bob?
What?
Shout-out?
I sort of covered it. Did you want to talk about Dragon Fest first?
Yes, let's actually do that. Let's do that. So when was it? It was a couple weeks ago.
It was two weeks ago. Yep.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago, I went down to Burbank to join Sifu Bob, and we covered the Dragon Fest convention live through Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio, and we posted the highlights reel on Facebook. So, you know, if you want to listen to that or if you missed it, just go to the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page and just kind of scroll around until you find the Dragon Fest highlights. Or you can just go to blogtalkradio.com/SEIKA Network, S-E-I-K-A Network, and you can find the highlights reel off of that. It was an incredible event. I mean, you know, right after we got done doing the crowd warm-up outside and giving away some T-shirts with the trivia contest and stuff like that, it was weird because it was like when we went outside, it didn't seem all that crowded, right? Because it was like 5 minutes before the doors opened. And then after we got done with the crowd, we go in and it's like all filled up. And I'm like, how did they get in there? Because we were standing in front of the door.
I thought the same thing. It was like nobody was out there. There was about 20 people waiting to get in, and within a half an hour, there were about 400 people there.
Mhm. Yeah. And I was like, holy moly, a lot of people, and within a short period of time, too. And throughout the course of the day, between 1 and 7, I don't know how many people had gone through there. I'm guessing at least 1,500. You know, what would you say? Like 1,500, 2,000?
I talked to Michael, and he said there were 1,200 tickets sold, including vendors. So about 1,000 plus the vendors were there.
Wow. Wow, so many great people that were there. Shihan Allen Woodman was there. Shihan Dana Abbott was there. Of course, Hanshi Dan Hecht was there representing the Masters Hall of Fame. Michael Jai White was there. TJ Storm. Nick Palma.
Shihan Jacob Bresler came over and said hello to us.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of great people and a lot of great, Master Ken, and we did interviews with a lot of people, Sifu Jason Velez and Mark Lawrence of the Bay Area Filipino Martial Arts Academy. I mean, there's just, it was crazy how many martial arts masters and celebrities were in one room. I thought, oh my gosh, you know, Michael Matsuda is going to have to get a bigger venue next year. However, isn't there talk about Dragon Fest being a two-day event here in the near, in the next year or two?
Next year it's going to be the 16th and 17th of May, and it's going to be a two-day event. So a lot of different vendors in. They'll be either come one day or come both days, because there were some vendors that had to be turned away. There were about 25 vendors that weren't allowed to display.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And it would be great if it was a two-day thing, you know. That way, you know, I guess vendors would have the choice, right, to come both days or just one? Or is, you know,
that's
if
correct,
gonna...
and so does the public.
Oh, that's awesome. So you can sell a full weekend pass. Very cool. So start marking your calendars, everyone. I mean, Dragon Fest is growing by leaps and bounds, and it's just now back in its first year. I mean, it's crazy how big it's growing. And of course, the founder of the original Dragon Fest, Gerald Okamura, was there, and that was incredible to finally get to meet him. And just incredible people. James Wilson was there, Don Wilson, Cynthia Rothrock, Art Camacho, and then, you know, the after party with those guys afterwards. That was pretty fun.
That was very cool.
That was very cool. So, yeah, mark your calendars, everyone. Next year, 17th and 18th, right? 17th and 18th? Or wait. 16th and 17th. Mark your calendars, folks. Save up for those. For those plane tickets, because I know I will, because me and Bob want another booth there next year. But I guess we'll have to talk over about whether or not we go one day or 2 days. I wouldn't mind 2 days. Watch me bite.
Yeah, we might as well do 2 days. You're going to be down here. We might as well.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun. So, all right, Dragon Fest next year, great event, and even more that's going to be happening next year. I had so much fun. I was looking so forward to it, and it didn't disappoint. It did not disappoint. It was just such a blast. Oh, my gosh, I can't wait till next year.
No, you know, it was really cool. We got to go down to Hollywood one day, and you saw the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and we toured the movie stars' homes and did all that. That was pretty fun, too.
Yeah, it was. You know, I love coming down there where there's lots of sun all the time.
Now, did you want to go through health news, or do you want to bring our two callers on that are online that were both at Dragon Fest?
Bring them on. Okay. We've got area code 619 on the line and area code 818. So we've got Shihan Jacob Bressler and Shihan Alan Woodman, correct? Did I get that right? Did I guess right?
You got it right, guys. How you doing?
Hey, how are
you? Good. We're good, man.
Always glad to hear you guys. I just was happened to be on Facebook and saw you guys were doing the show, and I said, you know, I got to call in. And I want to first of all say thank you very much. The jelly beans you guys gave me were so freaking awesome. They didn't last 4 days. I'm not kidding.
They didn't last 4 days. Tasty.
Well, wait a minute. I didn't get any jelly beans.
That's because she and Alan ate them all. So what did you guys think of Dragon Fest?
Mexico, so I'm going to stop there and get a few.
Oh, there you go.
So, I wanted to say, of course, I know you guys are doing the show on the Martial Arts Kid film project. I saw that. And you got to give them some serious props. $150,000, they did it. That was their mark. They reached it. They finally hit the mark. You know, we've been supporting them with the event. Through Sidekick Magazine and through Sidekick Publications and what we could do with all our contacts. And they did it, and I'm happy for them, and I can't wait for the film to go into production.
Oh, I know. I still can't wait.
I totally
either.
Agree, man. James, not that he was surprised, but there were a lot of doubting Thomases that said that they would never make that.
Why?
Yeah, what?
I mean,
guys, that's not like pocket change.
I mean,
well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was like going, man, are they really going to reach that number? And sure enough, I was like, wow, I was just blown away.
Friday movie with $150,000.
Yeah.
Well, today, guys, in today's business with $150,000, it's not that easy to make a movie that looks like a movie. And I know James
right.
isn't it's been in it as long as I am, but you tell him that they need Shea and Jacob Russell to run the fucking production. That's what they need.
Well, you're not the first one that's called in and asked for a job from those guys.
just so you know, they already had some funding in place, but they needed more money for the production, and this was kind of what this was the final step. Like, we get the rest of the money for the production, then we can just go all out. And so I'm just so happy of them, proud of them, and fantastic job, and got to give them some props on that. So
I know.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, that's pretty cool. I mean, we've been trying to, like, pass on that Kickstarter campaign through our pages, too. And it's like, when I first heard that they actually made it, I'm like, oh, my God, you know, there's 4 days left. There's 3 days left. Oh, my gosh, now what? You know, and yeah.
Boy, have you in a movie?
What's that?
So
they should have Rosita in a movie. I think she'd make a good actor.
I think we should get tickets to the opening premiere.
I agree. Totally agree. Totally, absolutely agree.
I want tickets, and I think we should be there full force with Sidekick Publications and Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio, and you know what I mean? And
Shehan
Jacob,
it.
You know,
that's
let's
it.
Do it, you know?
I figure if I talk
about it enough, James will listen.
Bob, I just saw
Auntie
Frank Dukes just sent me a thing about Sidekick Magazine? An article that he had or something? So, essentially, Alan, are you doing that magazine?
Yes, sir, I am.
In San Diego. Is that from San Diego? Because I know Frank is in Atlanta, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. No, you don't have to call me sir, please. I'm nobody to be called sir. It's okay. But, you know, James Lou and
well,
TJ.
Wait a second. If I called you ma'am, we're going to fight.
Bob will tell you that I'm no ma'am, but it's okay. My days of the military where people called me sir are over, but, you know, we all sensei. So I call you sensei. You're more than welcome to call me Sensei Jacob or anything you want. Anyway, I'm saying... I worked with James Lou several times in movies. He's a professional. He's a great guy to be with. And first teacher, Storm, a wonderful guy. I just saw him there, matter of fact, and he was telling me about the project. So, yeah, I will contact him because, you know, as a producer, line producer, I've done, you know, over 117 motion pictures. I worked on those kind of budgets, and it's not easy in the today market to bring that movie into that kind of budget and make it look nice and good, especially with the action and martial arts and fight scenes. The way that James would like to do it. But, you know, if anybody can do it, James can do it.
That's for sure. I'm actually partners with a really good friend of mine in Las Vegas, Henry Benerfa, with the magazines. It's we have three separate magazines. We have Sidekick Magazine, which was a relaunch of my old magazine I did 20 years ago. And then and we just relaunched. The first issue came out just last month. And then we have the two others, which is Martial Science, and then the Spanish version, which is Ciencia Marcial. So you get those three. If you go to sidekickpublication.com website, you'll see the free magazine button. Click on there, and you can actually view all of our magazines completely free. You can download them onto your computer for free. It doesn't cost nothing. You ain't even got to sign up. We don't want to know your name. Usually we tell Robert we don't want to know him, you know, and we don't want to see him. So just download it for free. You don't need our help, or you don't need to sign into nothing. You just get them for free. So just go to our website, and you can view them if you want, or you can download them and view them, and or you can contact us and and we can ship out some printed copies of any of those magazines. Next issue is Cynthia Marcial, which is Art Camacho's on the cover, and Nassim Larizi, one of the stars of Martial Arts Guild. Yeah, he's also on the cover as well.
But Alan, I've never heard somebody come on our show, promote what they were doing, and take a shot directly at me. How in the hell did that just happen?
Hey, you know,
I'm the only one who caught it.
Yes, sir?
I worked with Mr. Art Camacho many, many times. We made several movies together, 5 or 6 movies together. We slated to do a couple movies, one of them, Don Dragon, Captain Movie, and one that I have him as a director on it. So, yeah, I know Art Camacho very well. But I wanted to ask you, if I may, July I have a friend of mine that is a very dear friend and a very recognizable martial artist that is actually going to be inducted, as Bob knows, to Martial Arts Hall of Fame, Masters Hall of Fame, and he's coming all the way from Israel. He's one of the most scouted Israeli martial artists in the world from Krav Maga Kapab. Sensei Grandmaster Moshe Galisco. And I don't know, Bob, did you ever meet Sensei Moshe Galisco?
No, I didn't have the chance, ever.
But from knowing from Soki Greg how much he was impressed by him, he's one of the greatest and one of the best martial artists on tentacle Israeli martial arts, and I represented him in Israel and Israel in the United States as the chief instructor. So I would love to have the opportunity maybe to have him interviewed in Sidekick Magazine in July.
Absolutely. We're all about the martial arts community. We're not a black belt magazine or a big magazine. So we don't have a lot of advertisers. We kind of keep it that way. We really want it to be for the community. Advertising's great, you know, because it helps pay for the printing and the publishing. But we're trying to be a kind of a smaller kind of, oh, I would say just we really want to be a community magazine. So we really want to support people in the community, martial arts, what's going on.
You're saying the right thing, Sensei, because, you know, I've seen magazines from Black Belt for the last 30 years, and I'm subscribed to it, and I like it. But one thing that I don't like about it, like any other magazine, it's about the money and the advertising, and if you pay and buy a page, then you're in the cover, and you have a half a page, and you get an ad in the back, and then you get an article. And it's really a shame because you always see the same people over and over again, and it's not about – there's so many other great martial artists there. So if you call yourself a Black Belt magazine, you should go out and explore really the black belts around the world that are really good or around the United States and bring the truth of a matter on your pages. And instead of it, what they're doing is they bring in the same guys again and again. And if you look at the articles, you see who buys ads. They are in the articles. They are the instructor for self-defense. They are the instructors for weapons. Then they become the instructor of the year and the weapon instructor of the month. And, you know, it's just, oh, my God, you know, like self-promoting, you pay me and I'll promote the hell out of you. It would be nice to have Bob, you know how I feel about it, right? They asked me for 3 years to be at Master Hall of Fame, and I said, if I have to pay, I don't need to be there. It's okay. And then, you know, Greg says, you know what, Sensei, I'm bringing you in. You're my guest. I want you to get what you deserve. And I said, okay, of course I'll go. So today, you know, this year I, as Bob knows, I recommended 3 people to go to the Master Hall of Fame, and we gladly paying because I saw that the organization is really, Masters Hall of Fame is really, I know Dan and I know Sifu Rob, I know people on the board, I'm one of the members, and I figured, you know, they really honor people from all over, martial artists, real people, not just, okay, if this guy keeps paying the money, he's going to be there every year inducted again. I mean, you know, I would be embarrassed if I was inducted every 3 years getting another trophy of Master. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you are recognized for what you do, and you get it, and you deserve it, and that's about it. If you do it every month, then, you know, something too much of something is too much. And I love to have the idea of a magazine like you, sir, that says, I'm just there for the community. Yes, of course, it costs money to print. Yes, I know it costs money for that. But, you know, there is a lot of martial artists that are great people, that people don't know about them, because they're just martial artists, and they love to do what they do, but they don't like to pay to get a certificate. They don't like to pay to be in a magazine, to qualify with James Wong, whatever is his name, the publisher of Black Belt, you know? It's a shame, you know? So I would love the opportunity to introduce my friend to you, and our system and open the door, because the guys that do have it in the United States today is people that really bought a lot of ads, unfortunately, in Black Book Magazine, and that's why they're there. But otherwise,
I think Black Belt, in my opinion, and you guys, I'd love to hear from you. I had a few people that actually sent me emails or actually called me and told me they really liked the magazine. We have a really nice graphic layout. It's really easy to read, but very exciting as well to look at visually. We have lots of different, we have some, in this last issue, I think we had everything from Kaju Kembo to Sword Iaido, Iaijutsu with Dana Abbott. Plus, we had a story, the fascinating thing for me was that, we were actually, we kind of set a precedent and a record because we were the first magazine to ever feature Frank Dukes on the cover of a martial arts magazine in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our last issue. Nobody had ever done that before. And I'm really good friends with Frank, and it just astounded me that, someone that has such a prominence in the martial arts, and regardless of what people think of him personally, he's had such a prominent name in the martial arts and for what he's done and been involved for as long as he has, that he's never been featured on a cover of any martial art magazine in the United States before.
He was sent there, and I have his cover at my house. He was in Black Belt Magazine, actually, many, many years ago.
He was in Black Belt Magazine, but never featured on the cover.
Oh, I know. He didn't pay any money. That's right. Sensei, I don't know if you're aware of it, but Bob knows, and I think Sensei Sifu knows. I'm the first black belt that Frank Dukes authorized and gave in the United States, period. So I'm his highest rank in Dukes' room in Jitsu, but I don't talk to anybody about it. It's okay. Frank knows, I know, and most of our students, including Sky Benson and people like that, they know. And, again, just like with the Krav Maga and Kapab, I don't make a big fuss about it. I don't look for magazines. I don't make this. But, I'm the chief instructor appointed by Kapab, Krav Maga, and United States by the Israeli Ministry of Education and Defense. But, I don't go around and look for magazine covers and things like that. Matter of fact, I have a student of mine sitting in here that just became a level A. I charge students $10 to come and train with me, and people think I'm out of my mind. But it's not about that. I would love a magazine that really shows the spirit of martial arts, which was my idea one time to do, like Bobby's doing in Sifu, a radio show. My idea was to do a television show one time that talks about nothing but spirit of martial arts. Yesterday we had in our school, and you guys will appreciate it, 22 youngsters that just graduated to the brown belt level, the hardest level to achieve in martial arts. As you know, only two of them. They're on Facebook. I don't know if you looked at it. And I almost got into tears emotionally trying to talk to those kids because, and they all know me as the big wolf and the bad wolf and the tough guy. And yet they all know, here it comes. Sensei Jacob is going to start winding up and crying. It's just amazing. It's amazing to see these kids after 8 years, 9 years getting to their brown belts. When they come in, they're so uncoordinated. They're so DDR. They're so deformed, they're so out of concentration, and after 8-9 years, you see them perform katas, and their friendship one to each other, and the respect to their instructors, and their academic achievement in school. It's like the parents were bowing to us, as sensei, and going, we owe you everything that these kids are doing, because even though we pay in $130 a month, what you'd make for this kid to be different than the rest of the hoodlums out there in the streets and schools, my kid is an outstanding school kid. My kid is an outstanding kid at home. My kid is a great athlete. My kid is just a great kid. And you guys have a big part of that. That's what martial arts is all about, the future of those kids. It's not about me being in the cover 50 times and here's my glamour. We made our glamour in the sun. We've been there, done that. It's who you bring on the way as a Sifu, as an instructor, and who you leave as a legacy behind you that carries your legacy. More important than how big of a shot you are. You know what I'm saying? Ed Parker, I studied with Mr. Ed Parker, God bless his soul. I never seen him paid to cover a magazine. Everybody wanted to look for him because they knew, if I can get to Ed Parker, my magazine would be great. If I can get to Benny the General Kiedis, which I'm one of his black belts for 33 years, I got the jet. I got one of the best fighters in the world. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The rest of people are not Bill Wallace, they're not Joe, they're not those kind of people, Chuck Norris, then they have to pay to be in a magazine so they can get the publicity and they can get the advertising. So it's business, I understand that. But a true magazine like Kukai Sensei you have, there is other martial arts in the world. There is martial arts going from Indonesia to Malaysia to French savate to Persian wrestling to Samoans and Himalayas. I mean, God, you name it, and there is martial arts everywhere. It's good. Open people's eyes. It's not just about here's this one guy called whatever, and we all need to know him because, you know, he's constantly in the Black Belt magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And 6 months later, he's again in the magazine. Oh, and we awarded him because Black Belt magazine has got his videos and his tapes, so he's now the instructor, self-defense instructor of the year, and then he's the self-instructor of the decade, and then he's the self-instructor in the middle of the magazine talking about a regular column going on. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
It would be nice to have somebody that says, hey, in my magazine I feature karate, but, you know, something like Krav Maga, which is very, very popular around the world, just so you know, my friend, is in 33 countries around the world. More than popular. He's one of the scouted, most scouted instructors in the world. You know? And that's his business. I understand it. I'm humbly representing the organization in the United States. I don't have 25 schools. I don't have 10,000 students. I don't make $170,000 a year. But, you know, he also loves what he does. He started in 1999. And it's made in a hell of an organization that has helped a lot of people. And we don't change anybody's style. We just said, hey, add on to your curriculum, what do we do? You do Aikido, great. Learn to do other things with Aikido. You know,
I hear you, but
gentlemen, we have to get back on track. We're going to take a short break.
Go ahead.
Start the interview in about 2 minutes. What do you think, Rusty?
I think that's a great idea. Let's go ahead and take a short 3-minute break, and stay tuned, listeners, because coming up next, we'll be having, as our guest, kickboxing champ Orlando Rivera, actor and martial artist TJ Storm, and the director of the upcoming movie, The Martial Arts Kid, Michael Baumgarten. So don't go away, folks. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, MMA fighter Jason Mayhem Miller here. School bullying and cyberbullying statistics are increasingly viewed as an important contributor to youth violence, including homicide and suicide. Let's kick bullying together. Go to WeKickingIt.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Restita De Jesus.
And I'm Robert Deal.
We're the founders of the Seika Network on blogtalkradio.com.
And we've got some great events that we'd like to share with you.
On July 6th through the 11th, 2014, the International Tai Chi Chuan Symposium will present an exciting event where 5 Tai Chi Grandmasters, each representing the traditional Chen, Yang, Wu Hao, Wu, and Sun styles of Tai Chi, will share their knowledge and skills. Tai Chi practitioners from all levels, including beginners, will benefit from this opportunity to learn and practice directly with the Grandmasters. The 5 masters that will be teaching at this event are Chen Zhenlei, Yang Jun, Zhang Zhenchan, Ma Hai Long, and Sun Yongtian. You don't even have to be an experienced Tai Chi practitioner to attend. Whether you're a health promotion planner, healthcare provider, personal trainer, martial artist, physical education instructor, or school administrator, all are welcome to attend. Don't miss this opportunity to train directly under the masters. For more information to register for Directly from the Source, just go to www.taichisymposium.com or you can email info@taichisymposium.com.
Hello everyone, join Hanshi Daniel Hecht on Kicking It Old School on KCAA 1050 AM. He will bring you more great interviews with legends, leaders, and people that have made a difference in the martial arts and in people's lives. You can call in with questions or comments for our guests at 909-888-5222. So join Hanshi Daniel Heck here on KCAA 1050 AM.
Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time.
And now, on with the show.
I'm late to the coming back. Oh, my goodness. I hate it when I do that. Anyhow, if you're just now tuning in, this is Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio with Rashida and Robert. We've got a great bunch of guests that are going to be joining us here in a couple of minutes. So if you would like to talk to TJ Storm, Orlando Rivera, or Michael Baumgarten, give us a call, 347-677-0699. Or we have a chat board on the live Blog Talk Radio show marquee. Just scroll down a little bit underneath the show marquee, and if you don't want to talk to us on the phone, then you can just type your questions or say hi there on the chat board. All right, so Bob, I'm going to hand the mic over to you, and if you want to introduce everyone, I'm going to bring up their microphones as we do that. What do you think?
That's perfect. I love that.
Yeah.
Lynn, the first one I'm going to bring up, I met like 30 years ago. But we met him a couple weeks ago. I had our picture taken. This is absolutely one of the nicest guys I've ever met in the martial arts community. One of the comments my wife made is, I don't like going to these events. Everybody has a big ego. Not this guy. This guy absolutely does not. When I introduced myself to him, he treated me like I was a long-lost brother.
Mm-hmm.
Please help me welcome to the show our first guest, and then I'll introduce our next guest. Please help me welcome Master TJ Storm. TJ, welcome to the show.
Hey. How's it going?
How you doing?
I'm great. I'm excited to be on the show. This is going to be a blast.
Right on. Very cool. All right. And back to you, Bob.
And help me welcome champion kickboxer calling us semi-late at night. Not really, but he's calling us from Florida. Please help me welcome to the show kickboxer champion Orlando Rivera. Orlando, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. How's it going?
Oh, it's going well. How are you? How's the weather back in Florida, my friend?
Oh, yeah. Actually, it's really nice weather out here today, and enjoyed it on the beach with my family. We had a really good time. So taking some time out now to give you guys a call and chime in on what's going on with you guys out there in L.A.
Right on.
Oh, and you know what? We have somebody else on the line. He wasn't on the line a minute ago, and I just saw his name pop up. And I really am interested in talking to everybody. But please help me welcome to the show the visionary, as it were, actually on the set of the martial arts kid. Please help me welcome their director. And Michael, I'm going to screw up your last name, and I know it. Michael Baumgarten, how close was I?
You're pretty close. That was right on the money, in fact.
Woo-hoo!
And you're the guy that Rusty and I are going to hit up for invitations to walk the red carpet on the movie release, right?
Absolutely. In other words, it's not even a question of, like, you have to be invited. Just, like, show up and we'll take care of you. No problems.
Perfect. See what I do, Rusty? You just ask and you shall receive.
I was prepared to work for it. But
PR,
get the commercials out. Yeah, exactly. I think we'll have to sweep the red carpet. But anyhow, for our fans out there, 347-677-0699, that's our phone number. If you'd like to talk to TJ Storm, Orlando Rivera, or Michael Baumgarten, let's go ahead and give us a call. Don't be shy. Everyone start picking up your phones now. So what I'd like to do is just kind of get a little bit of time with each of you and ask each of you pretty much the same questions. But I'd like to start with TJ. TJ, not only are you an actor, but you are an accomplished martial artist. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about your background in martial arts and how it applies to your how it applied to your acting career and how it applies now in this upcoming movie, The Martial Arts Kid?
TJ.
I think your phone is it sounds like you're underwater, TJ. Still can't hear you, buddy. TJ?
Yeah. Is this any better?
Yeah, that's a lot better. You keep cutting in and out, and it sounds like you're underwater for some reason.
Oh, sorry, look, I hope this is a little bit better.
There you go.
There it is.
Okay, there. Okay, so am I clear now?
Yeah, for now.
Okay, great. Okay, for now. So my mom put me into karate when I was a little kid, and she did it primarily because I was hyperactive and really, really clumsy. I was really tall for my age, and because I'd grown fast, I was incredibly clumsy. So she put me into Kito Ryu Karate, and that was in Hawaii under Shizuka Taka, and it was really old school traditional karate, and it changed my life. She made me stay in it even when I got frustrated and I wanted to quit. She absolutely made me stay, and I went on from Shitryu to Arashiru Karate, then I went from that to Northern Shaolin, then to Taekwondo. But I stayed in the karate for a long, long time. Even while I was training the other ones, I was still training in karate. So that's where it started, and it's still it becomes a way of life. If that's your thing, if that's your passion, then the way of the martial arts is a way of life, and it's a great way of life. It taught me discipline. It taught me focus, and that helped me in my career. I still use those disciplines and that same focus, especially when I'm preparing for a role or I'm preparing special skills for one of the things that I'm working on. It's that same mindset, and it's a great way to grow up.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really cool that your mom just kept on you about it. Don't quit. Don't quit.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely. My mom, actually, when I wanted to quit, she got her white belt on, and she came to class to make sure that I didn't sneak out. She didn't sit there.
Wow.
She actually joined class, and she was at the end of the row, and I was like, oh, man, I can't get out of here. But she was in class, and she said, look, if I can do it, you're going to have no problem. And I was going to prove to everybody that my mom is not going to get a higher belt than me. So she didn't do it for long enough, but she did it for long enough to make sure that I was going to stay in and just do it, and it was great, and it really helped, and I thank her every day for it.
Awesome.
Now,
go,
now,
Mom.
TJ, now, I remember you from the tournament circuit. You were a big tournament fighter back in the day, weren't you?
From what?
You were a big tournament fighter, weren't you?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't big into the tournaments. I was more into just doing my thing and training. What I was into, to be honest, was girls. And I was such a major monster geek that I had no chance with girls. So that's why I started to get into show business. At the time, it was actually dancing. I wanted to learn to dance so I could be cool and be cool enough to ask a girl to the prom. And that is where it all started for me.
Aww.
Wow. That is so
cool.
Yeah, you know, Rusty and I took that picture with you 2 weeks ago, and we both felt so vertically challenged standing next to you. It was like, wow. And he, in fact, you remember taking a picture where you bent your knees just to be at our level. By a lot.
Now imagine that when I was like 8 or 9. I was almost that height, and I was such a slut.
Wow!
I feel like really, really short.
And that's why you did so much help.
Well, it was great to meet you. And my favorite character that you played, you know, in all your roles so far. And I know it'll tell all the listeners how much of a geek I am, because I used to watch the Hercules series a lot.
Conan. Yeah. Oh,
Conan,
that's cool.
Conan, Hercules.
Awesome. Right on.
Hercules, Conan. And I forgot what your character's name was.
Bayou. My name is Bayou on that show.
Thank you. I was like, oh, my gosh. And yeah, that was those were the days where it was like Hercules, Conan, Xena, and yep. there was another all those period things. It was like, oh my gosh, you know. I was just telling Bob at the beginning of the show, and I'm like, yeah, you know, in all those series, you know, there's always gotta be, you know, like a really, you know, cool character. And I was like, yeah, TJ was on Hercules or Conan, I don't remember. Oh my gosh, but he was like totally cool. But anyway.
Thank you.
It
was
Kung
so
Fu.
Fun. It was so fun.
Yeah. Now you also studied Kung Fu also, correct?
Yes, Northern Shaolin Kung Fu primarily, yes.
Oh, very cool.
Absolutely loved it.
It showed in one of your roles. So it did show in the roles. It did show in Conan. It was like, oh, hey.
Didn't use in martial arts in Conan, but part of my character was that I was you know, attached to these spirit animals. So I was like, what is he going to notice if I sneak in some sea lum and do some animal style stuff? And they didn't. They're like, oh, the tiger thing. That would you make your tiger claw? That's kind of cool. And that crane. Bird, flamingo, fist thing. Do that. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I'll do some of that.
Very
so it
cool.
Worked out in my favor.
Very cool. All righty. Let's take the same question over to Orlando. Orlando, can you tell us a little bit about how you got started in martial arts and kickboxing?
Well, so that happened a long time ago when I was a kid. I was about 9 years old. And a lot like TJ, my mom got me involved in martial arts because I kept coming home from school crying and beat up. So basically I was bullied as a kid, if you could believe that. You know, now holding 5 world titles under my belt all these years later. It's just, you know, something that my mom put me into. I stayed in it. And like, you know, TJ said earlier, you know, it becomes a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
And you just roll out with it. It's who we are. That's what we do. We are martial artists. And martial artists are very... very much like military people that are, you know, very strict and stern and powerful in their beliefs. And to me, you know, just doing what I love to do on a daily basis is what I do now. You know, I teach, you know, I give it away. They, you know, one instructor of mine told me one day, he says, you can't keep it unless you give it away. I didn't understand that years ago when he told me that. But now, after all these years, I realize, you know what, I'm giving away my knowledge and my experiences, and I've helped so many people in my career that it just, you know, it overwhelms me sometimes when I give a little kid that's now an adult come up to me and say, hey, coach, you know, I made it through college, you know, it's because of you and the discipline that you put in me. You know, a lot of that stuff, you know, goes threefold with me because I came from, you know, a broken home. You know, my mom was, you know, my dad and my mom. And, you know, like I said, you know, she was a very powerful woman that made me become the warrior that I became today. And, you know, I just love what I do, you know, and I'm glad to be part of the whole martial arts kids movie for the simple fact that, you know, I'm no actor like TJ. You know, he's got a lot of accolades under his belt. You know, me, I'm just, you know, 5-time world kickboxing champion. I've traveled all over the world. I fought, beat so many people that, you know, you look at my resume, you know, online. I mean, I am who I am, and that's, you know, what I am. You know, I'm a warrior. That's what I pride myself to be. I live by the code of the Bushido, which is the code of the warrior. That's how I live my life on a daily basis. Keeps me balanced, keeps me busy, and my biggest thing is my family. If I'm not busy doing something with my family, then I'm off balance. So there you have it, Orlando Rivera.
Very cool. Now,
Orlando, that is so cool that you're into helping the kids because you grew up getting bullied and you're giving it back to the community. That is really amazing considering you're a champion. You're not, and if I'm not being disrespectful, please excuse, you're not just some schmuck that came up in the arts. You're a champion. You took some, not that you took them away from him, but you have some of Don Wilson's old belts after he retired, from what James told me.
Yeah, well, he's kind of
that's
lucky
pretty
he
amazing.
Retired. He's kind of lucky he retired because I was coming after him. How money for him?
Can you hear that? Come down and call the show.
Yeah, no, right.
Now, on to Michael. Michael, this is going to get a little intense because my wheels are turning and going to ask you questions, specific questions. I almost don't know where to begin. I want to know how you got started in the industry. I want to know your normal genre. Is it action film? I want to know about
it is
how
actually
you let these guys freelance. Why don't you start and I'll jump in.
What? What was that?
I said, why don't you start? I'll jump in with all these questions I got. First, how did you get into the industry?
Well, I mean, I was a kid down in the Keys, and my mom was, like, divorced with basically four kids. And she got a second job working at a movie theater. So, you know, she took me to work. And while I was at work with her, I was watching movies like Enter the Dragon and all these kind of fun things. And it was just a ball. So I had a great, great time. And then basically, that's what happened. And next thing you know, I'm just making movies, like, with my friends. And then it starts to build from there.
Wow. Now, have you always been into the action movies? You mentioned Enter the Dragon. Or have you done comedies, dramas, or have you mostly done scenes that have martial arts in them?
Well, due to my budget constraints, I usually did more talking heads type of movies. But martial arts was something that I've always, like, enjoyed, but just getting that kind of talent was never easy. So unless you can, you know, really put, you know, people in front of the camera that can really shine, you know, it's kind of like a waste of everybody's time. So luckily on this film, I finally have the opportunity to jump in and basically to really showcase, you know, the people who I absolutely adore and who I respect and can't wait to work with and put them in front of the camera to where, you know, with the help of James Liu, who's going to do, like, the fight scenes, you know, we are going to make an amazing movie.
You know, this is going to be incredible because we've interviewed Matthew Ziff, Tara Cardinal, Hamid, and Nassim Rizvi, which is online listening to the show right now. Now we've got TJ. We've got Orlando. Now, I've heard a couple different aspects. Jerry Poteet, many years ago when the movie Dragon came out, said about Jason Scott Lee, because he was an actor, not a martial artist, it was easier to train him as a martial artist and that he's already an actor. What is your feeling? Because you've got actors that are very accomplished martial artists, or I no disrespect to Orlando. Now you've got Orlando that's a very accomplished martial artist, but maybe lacks the acting ability. What's your thoughts?
Well, Orlando, you know, is like an amazing person. So when you look at him, you see that. And so it's not so much that you're trying to get him to do something that's outside of, you know, his range, as you've got to kind of like design things for him that will just showcase him. And that's what I try to do. So what I try to do is really make it to where I can utilize everybody's skill sets to everybody's good.
Oh, very, very cool. Now, you know, I've met a few of them. I met Tara, I met Matthew, I met TJ, of course. They're an amazing group of people. I've never met nicer people in the industry. How is it working with them? I know you've shot a couple scenes. You're about to go to Cocoa Beach and then fly back to L.A. to shoot some more. How is it working with this kind of talent and this kind of humility among the actors and actresses?
Well, I recently made four features where basically it wasn't SAG actors, and it was one of those things where, you know, I mean, I'm finding people who I believe can work these roles and fit in these roles, and I go to an acting school twice a month and look at new talent, so I'm always around actors, and it was one of those things where I'm glad I waited till now, because basically directing the four features up until now was a learning experience, both, you know, for me as a filmmaker and for me as basically somebody that really wants to develop people and bring them up. So I found people that really weren't actors, but I basically was able to put them in situations and bring them up to where they got, you know, rising star awards at film festivals, though it was their first movie.
That is amazing. Now, when does production, I mean, I know you're pre-production, you've shot some stuff, you shot at Dragon Fest. When do you actually start to shoot in Cocoa Beach?
Saturday the 7th, and we're filming high school scenes, and it will be pretty epic for day one. And, you know, we're filming throughout there for pretty much about 6 days, but the biggest day will be on the 12th of June. We're going to do a Enter the Dragon style, you know, scene where we're going to have 200 or 300 martial artists out on the beach and a big and just this big podium where there's going to be just a row of, you know, of masters, and we're going to have like 3 or 4 cameras on it. We're going to have a little chopper that flies over it, so it really just feels, although we're an indie film, it's going to feel just really epic.
Very cool. I still can't wait. I still can't wait for this film to get out.
I'm either. This is going to be so good. I'm not ignoring TJ and or Orlando, but how is it going to be marketed, Michael? Are you going for the big screen type thing? Where are you going? What's going to be the final result?
Well, my background is actually in theatrical distribution. So one of the things that I was involved with probably about 17 years ago or so was a movie called Smitty, which was a boy and dog. I mean, not that one. There was one called Shiloh, which was one that we took 65 prints of, like, the movie. We grossed, like, $1.1 million in 14 weeks. We played 44 markets just doing weekend matinees. So this is the type of film that kind of fits that model, where we can take just a small number of however we play it and take them around and basically just do weekends, because it's not the type of movie necessarily that will play like at 9:50 on a Wednesday night, but it's perfect for weekends, for families to get out there. That's kind of what our aim is. So we want to, you know, enlist the help of as many martial arts schools as like we can to basically to pre-sell some tickets and get us to come there. That would be great, because then we know that at least, you know, they want us there. That would be the best thing. And then, you know, we can screen it pretty much anywhere. If it's basically at the local AMC or wherever that there is, or if it's the dojo itself, we're happy to show up. So, you know, we want to really promote this film. We want to go from place to place and really, you know, get the message across, which is the message is basically there are heroes, and they're usually wearing gis, and that's the thing. This is the modern day, this is the modern day Jedi, you know, as like it were. So, and that's what I'm trying to push.
Awesome. Uh-huh. Now, I know you've only shot a couple things, but have you worked with TJ or Orlando yet?
I have worked with TJ, but I met him the first time around 2 years ago at a event in Detroit. And basically I met with Don. And, and one thing I kept saying as I'm looking at him and just seeing how he is and how, you know, amazing he is, was basically the one thing was, I want to work with this guy. You know what I mean? That was the thing. Mm-hmm. And so it's great that we made this movie happen because then it allowed us to actually, you know, work together.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Now, TJ, you're an amazing person, amazing actor, amazing martial artist. Boy, am I pumping your ego tonight or what?
Thank you. That's awesome. No, I appreciate that. I absolutely love doing this stuff. And when you're passionate about it, you're free to pour your energy and your soul into it. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to work with great people like Michael Baumgarten and Don the Dragon Wilson and Cynthia Rothrock, and I've gotten to work with some wonderful people in my life, and this is going to be another great project.
And James Liu, how amazing is that? Mm-hmm. A guy with almost 40 years in.
Wow. I'm a connoisseur of action. I absolutely love action movies. I study every single one of them, and James Liu has been in some of the best action movies ever. He's a Hollywood legend when it comes to action. He's an amazing talent when it comes to choreography and camera angles and storytelling through motion. So it's a wonderful opportunity. He's a good friend. He's a friend of mine as well, and I'm so proud that he's going to be leading the helm on the action portion of this film that I have no qualms about anything that we're about to do. We're going to do some great stuff, and we're in his hands. That'll be great.
It'll be amazing. You know, he was shooting a B camera when I was doing some videos for Inside Kung Fu magazine, and I got thrown, and I got up and I looked James right in the eye and go, man, you get paid a lot of money for this stuff.
Totally. He's such a great guy.
He is, absolutely. What is it like to work with Michael? And that's why I asked Michael if he worked with anybody before that's on the line. How is he as a director?
He knows how to get the job done. Here's the thing. The story starts in the writing. And I think Michael started there. He's written a good portion of this project, and he's put his heart and soul into that. And that's where the story and the characters really start to take form. It starts to take shape. And that's where it starts. And you can see the passion of a project in the writing. Then the directing comes in. Then he puts his other hat on, his directing hat. And he just gets in and he gets his feet wet and gets his hands in there. And it's beautiful. He knows how to talk to the actors. He knows how to set up the shot. It's great when you're working with somebody who knows what they're doing. So I'm looking forward to doing some more.
Yeah. That is so cool. Well, we have someone on the line that you may or may not know. Let me bring him on live. James Wilson, you are live on Dynamic Dojo. How are you?
Hi, guys. Hey, Champ, you there, Orlando?
Yes, sir. What's going on, James?
How you doing? Hey, DJ, good to see you, hear you.
What's up, brother? How are you, man?
I'm good. Don't let Michael run you guys over, okay? Hey, listen, Robert, I don't know if you know, because, you know, Orlando is a pretty famous kickboxing champion, of course. People know that, but, you know, since Don's retirement, he's the guy that has really took Don's place. He's the guy that actually stepped in after Don, and he's the guy that won the most real, legitimate world titles. Because, you know, there's a gazillion titles out there now. Mm-hmm. But Orlando's were like Don's. You know, they're the real ones, the big ones. And he did it like Don, full contact karate and in kickboxing. And Orlando was also a very good boxer. So, you know, we're real happy to have him in the film. And, you know, and we don't – the best way we could figure it was he is himself. So Orlando is going to appear as Orlando Rivera, the kickboxing champion. And we're having him in a tremendous scene that I really don't want to describe here right now, but Orlando mm-hmm. knows about it, and it's going to be very cool, and he's going to be with a bunch of other really great martial artists. And then, you know, I want to go on. And TJ, you know, Mike and I approached TJ, as you know, TJ, at a stuntman's party a long time ago and brought this project up to him and mentioned it to him, and he was gung-ho for it right from the start. And you know, he's the guy we wanted. And let me tell you something. When TJ and Don fight, which they're going to, can you imagine how that's going to look?
Mm-hmm. That's going to be cool.
Yeah. I don't know if TJ bring it up, but, you know, he was recently Godzilla, right?
Yeah. Well, he didn't bring it up on the show, but, yeah, it was all over Facebook, and it was really cool. I'm like, wow, really? Godzilla? Wow.
Godzilla, man. I know, we got Godzilla in our movie.
That's a great party opener. It's an awesome way to go. Name, sir? Godzilla. That's how I get a good seat. That's beautiful.
There you go. Godzilla.
Listen, every time I go to a Halloween party and TJ's there, he always has the best costume. I don't know where he gets them from, but you know, he always has the best one.
So what were you laughing at?
For Godzilla, just to be clear about Godzilla, it wasn't a costume. It was not a costume in any way, shape, or form. We shot some freezes, and the animators on the movie work day and night. I mean, literally an army of talented artists work day and night to make Godzilla look like they did. But we did do the previs movements, and we set up the fight and pulled the jaws apart and blew fire down the throat. that was all Garrett Warren, and a master of action named Garrett Warren. And he brought me on to that, and he goes, he pointed to one guy to my left, and he goes, you're the monster number one, you're the monster number two, they're called Muto. And he pointed at me, he goes, you're Godzilla. And I'm like, whoa. So, and then we took it from there and just tried to clean up the action and make it look just epic, and I think it worked.
Yeah, it worked. You look great. And but listen, I see you making those movements all the time now.
Yeah, it's fun. See, I think people imagine it. If I scratch my head and turn my head at the same time, oh, you did that in Godzilla, didn't you? I'm like, come on, really?
Right, now you're being typecast now.
I'm stuck. Giant lizard.
Yeah, I heard TJ talking about Michael there, and he's absolutely right. You know, Mike is the writer of this film. And let me tell you, and TJ knows as much as all of us. All of us were frustrated because he's constantly doing rewrites, you know, trying to make the perfect script. You know, and sometimes he just throw away the entire session, when he wasn't satisfied, and redoing it. So TJ is right. He put his heart and soul into it, and you know, and we just have a great cast and great crew. And the reason we have guys like Orlando involved is because we wanted real guys, real champions, real martial artists. You know, the people that everybody likes and respects, and even in our main characters, Don, Cynthia, TJ. You know, we have a group of great martial artists. And, you know, we're really, really proud and happy about that. And, you know, and Mike worked with me right from the beginning on the kind of movie we wanted, the type of people we wanted in it. You know, so he's been great, and he has his own vision of performances, and which I totally, totally agree with and approve of. And he's going to be less. He's going to be less restricting, you know. He's going to let the performance come from the actors, and not do silly shit, which most action B movie people have to deal with, which is, you know, you're the tough guy, you're stone faced, you don't show emotion, you're just Mr. Badass, you know. Mm-hmm. So he's not doing that at all, and even TJ there is a complicated character, you know. And we're looking for a sequel too. We're looking already towards a sequel, making plans. And anyway, you know, I'm real happy and real proud of this project and of everybody involved in it. And Champ, your scene is on the 12th.
Okay, I'll be there.
Have they been in touch with you?
No, they haven't yet. But
they will be. They will be. They'll be letting you know when and where to show up. You know, so you can be there ahead of time. And you know, it's going to be a complicated process, because you know there's like 250 extras or more in your scene, so that's going
to
be
I don't have to fight them, do I?
No. no we got Godzilla for that one.
Great.
Hey guys, I'm going to let you guys go. I'm taking up too much time.
Hey James.
Very good.
Yeah. Kickstarter announcement. Do you want to say it?
Oh, guys, listen. We crossed the goal today, and we haven't stopped. The last time I looked, we were at 155,000 plus. So
woo! Awesome!
Yay!
Awesome!
That is nice.
Congratulations!
Thank you.
Yeah.
So we are getting big support. A lot of people are looking forward to seeing what the work you guys are going to do, and you know, and I think we're going to deliver. So, you know, let's do it, all right?
And thank you, James, for all of your hard work.
No, you're welcome. And, hey, TJ, I guess you saw. Oh, you have seen it. I was about to say there's a little flashback in there with you that we're going to show just how brutal you can be.
Oh.
I mean, how tough you are, you know what I mean?
So, okay. That looks
fun. Anyway, I'm going to say goodbye, guys.
Thanks,
right,
James.
Take care.
See you soon, James.
Thanks
bye-bye.
Again, James.
All right.
Thanks,
take care. Okay, all right. Michael, now he just opened up another can of worms, because I had forgotten you were the writer.
Yeah.
And you're the director. And you're the visionary throughout. Well, a couple things. You know, I was with Michael Matsuda today,
And he had to do that scene at Dragon Fest where he broke up the fight.
Yeah.
And he said something, and you looked at him, Michael, and you said, okay, say the next line. He looked at me and said, I didn't know there were any lines. He had no clue. Now, how is it, as a director, you're able to carry out your entire vision. You've got control over it instead of a writer separated from a director. I don't know where I'm actually going with this, except it sounds like a better marriage than having it separated from writer to director. Am I wrong?
Well, I can just switch hats, like right on the spot. So if there's something that I need to throw in there, like I did a movie where there was somebody that was trying to get an autograph from somebody that was a singer. So there's a whole line of people that go through, they get the autograph, and the main cast goes through and gets the autograph. And then there was a gentleman that just looked like he was from the 80s. So I'm like, you know what? I could end this scene better just looking at the guy. And it was just like, so I said, you know what? Don't tell her in advance. Just wait till you go there. And I said, I'm throwing you a line. Ask her if she's got her music on 8-track. And it just was one of those things where he did it so deadpan, and the actress that was there, her jaw dropped. And then we cut, and everybody just burst out laughing. She had no idea that it was coming. It was great because it was a genuine reaction. She really was thrown off. You know,
wow.
That worked out great.
That's awesome.
That is really awesome. I'm sure you've probably worked as the director, not the writer. And James was saying about getting frustrated because you were, like, throughout whole sections because you're trying to make the perfect movie. Being a writer and director, is it typically like that where you just get so frustrated, you rewrites all the time? Is that different from if there's a writer and a director?
I believe it is. Because for me, it's like I can take something that somebody else wrote and I can then use it as is, or I can revise it some. But when it's me as writer and also director, I'm constantly going through it with ripples and ripples. I'm going through it again and again with a red ink pen. So it's like, you know, I am my own worst enemy when it comes to that, because I know how tough it is to make it in this market. So for me to basically not have done with the amount of time I have everything I could possibly do, I feel there's more that I could do. So until that point where I'm on set, and even on set, to a certain extent, I'm going to try to make it the best that it can be.
Beautiful. You know, we have a caller that wants to speak with you. He may have a question. Let me bring him on right now. William Christopher Ford, how are you, my friend?
Yes, how are you?
Hey, William.
What's up, William?
How are you?
How you doing,
good,
man?
Brother TJ, how you doing, brother?
What's up, brother? Good to hear you, man.
Well, last time I saw you was at Dragon Fest when I interviewed you, and we're in the midst of editing that interview right now, so hopefully it'll
be
up.
Cool, man. It was great seeing you. The Dragon Fest was amazing.
Always great to see you. I go back to the late 80s with TJ Storm, always been a gentleman, excellent martial artist, and excellent man of character. I'm happy that you guys made your goal. I will be calling in to make a contribution myself, even though you guys have met the goal. I know every little bit helps. So
thank you, brother.
I urge all the listeners to keep those contributions coming, you know, because sometimes, Godzilla eats a lot, man. You know, he needs to gotta keep that craft service going, you know.
Thanks, man.
Oh, my goodness. That's hilarious. Oh, my goodness. So I have a quick question for Michael. It's been a while since a coming-of-age type of movie in martial arts, quote-unquote, has come out there. I mean, you know, Karate Kid, you know, is considered one of those types of coming-of-age movies. What's your, I guess, how do I put this, Michael? What makes this movie, what would you think makes this movie different?
Well, one thing is, okay, sorry.
Go ahead. I think you know what I'm talking about. What would make this movie different, considering that it has been a while? I mean, just in the last 20 years, you know, what attracts people into movies is different. Storylines, you know, are different. So what makes it different?
Well, sometimes what's old becomes new. And I've been hanging out with a lot of people in a office on another movie where they're finding a lot of the old music and a lot of the old movies endearing. And they're finding these movies to be things that they really are drawn to. Like in the movie Pitch Perfect, you know, one of the things they did in that was they reflected back on a movie like The Breakfast Club. You know, as something that they threw in there. And it's that kind of thing. They're like, wow, those movies from then were told a different way. And it was really, just really sweet. And what I wanted to do was make a really sweet story, because I'm a huge fan of Cameron Crowe and, people like that to tell those kind of stories. So for me, the main thing was, it's not just a martial arts film. It's a story about a kid that needs a shot, and he needs more than anything else, he needs a family. And, and who doesn't like that? And I don't think that's something that's necessarily a thing where it's based on 2014 versus 1985 versus 1993. That's, that they will endure. And I think that, when you see the actor that we have in his audition that he did, that made me just really, really know that this was the right way to go, because he got it. So it'll
right
be exciting.
On. Yeah, me and Bob are really excited, and the people that we've been getting in touch with are excited. They're like, "What? There's a movie coming out?" And I'm like, "Yeah, go to Kickstarter." And people are like, "Whoa. This is cool." So, and you're right. You know, what is old is new. I mean, like you said, those types of stories never get old, no matter what millennia we're in. Very cool. Well, it looks like we have another caller. Should we take that caller, Bob? What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Go ahead.
All right. So we got Mike calling from area code 616. Welcome, Mike. You're on Dynamic Dojo.
Okay, how are you? Yeah,
pretty good.
I did talk to somebody last week with you on the show, and he gave me some advice, but, it really didn't show much for that, because I couldn't get a hold of anybody because disconnected the phone, that place, Postmasters, But, really, with me, nothing, happens, It's like, like someone taking me as a pancake, fry me down in a pan, and look down at me like I'm an inferior species, subhuman. They always talk about me, all the time in this town. And that really hard, it's really hard for me to take, I don't like to be called, that, but even if it does, I have it in their scale, it shows up in their scale and grade. But I'm really sorry about all that, they feel like that. Really, really hard feelings, but from them, but not to me. I don't really want to see that, hear that, But I told them, the problem is that I can't find anything like a girlfriend. I've been here since a long time, 71, and everybody wants to take you, think you are, just a vegetable case, and they just want to look. Look you into the eye and, poke your eyes out, so you end up blind, like a blind without any eyes, and to see with. And, you see nice-looking girls and, and they still say, you might want to poke your eyes out because of that.
Can I ask a question, Mike?
Yeah.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Okay.
Do you have a question for any of our guests? Because this is a martial arts talk show.
Martial arts?
This is a martial arts talk show, and we've got several guests on the line. We've got TJ Storm, who's an actor. We've got a kickboxing champion, Alonda Rivera, and we've got a movie director, Michael Baumgarten, on here. And I don't know if you had tried to reach a different show. I think
the right place. I'll just try some place that would probably want to give me something to say in.
Yeah. Sorry that we're the wrong number, but this is a radio talk show.
Okay. I'm sorry.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, Mike. Okay. Have a great day. Bye bye now.
Wow. You handled that well.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
I had no idea. Well, were you guys doing the same thing I was doing? I was like sitting here going, WTF, what's going on?
Rusty started talking about a technique. He's like getting poked in the eye, and they poked me in the eye. I'm like, okay, I'm not. So where does this go?
I know, right? I just turned off, and I'm like, WTF is he talking about? I was like, who is this guy? Oh, I forgot where we left off. I'm sorry. Oh gosh. Okay, that hurts.
I wanted to say one thing to you guys.
Sure.
I want to say thank you for having me on. Mike, it's going to be nice meeting you finally. And TJ, you kill it, brother. You sound like a
brother
that I'd like to meet one day, and which is going to be soon enough.
Dude, I'm glad you're a part of this, man. I saw some of your resume, and your fight record is amazing. And I'm looking forward to seeing your skills and just meeting you in person because you seem like a super cool person.
Yes, sir. Same to you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
You guys have a good night.
Awesome. Thank you, Orlando.
Great. Oh, guys.
Thanks for calling,
thank
Orlando. Have
no
a great
problem,
night.
Anytime. You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye now. All right.
Bye.
Michael, you're back. Bye. I thought you hung up because of the other guy.
James actually took my so like he took my charger. So I just had to go grab it back from him.
Oh. Can't have a dead cell phone. I completely forgot where we were at, Bob, because that Mike guy that called in completely threw me for a loop.
That threw me completely off. You're like, what is he talking about? What is he doing? That's the first time in almost 2 years that we've been doing the show that's ever happened.
No,
that
happened
was awesome.
It happened once before, and it sounded like the same guy.
That was awesome. I think he was trying to reach love line.
I think so, but I don't know
but
about
then he's talking about poking somebody's eye out.
Yeah, and people, poking somebody's eye out, people thinking that he's crazy and stuff, and I'm like, I'm beginning to think
so. I think he
was,
or he's been drinking.
Yeah, I'd wondered. And I was like, he's going to get to the point here, and he's going to ask one of you guys a question. I don't know. All right, so now that I'm all discombobulated, let's go to Bob.
Yeah, really. So, TJ, what do you feel was your one was your biggest influence in acting, and what do you feel is your biggest part, the thing that sets you separate from the rest that really made TJ Storm who he is in acting?
I don't think any one thing could do that. I mean, it's been a journey, and I'm still on that journey. The main thing about anything you do in life and where you are in life are the accumulation of the entirety of all the choices that you did before, but all the choices that you've made in your past to get you to this moment where you are right now. So it's the same thing for me. I wasn't joking when I said I just wanted that prom date, and I wanted to be cool. And that's why I started to learn how to dance. And the dancing took me into competitive dancing. I didn't really think of martial arts as something you use to compete. I just thought, oh, this is just what I have to do every other day, and it's like another class for me. So I did that all the time, but I did dance because I thought it would make me a little bit cooler, and then I started to love dance, and then I ended up getting a scholarship for dance school. So I ended up, I won a scholarship to go learn how to, not only, I already knew how to break dance, but I did, ballet and jazz, and oddly enough, I hated ballet. I hated ballet because I was the only guy in the class, and it was horrible, but I was the only guy in the class, and that was kind of cool. And it made my martial arts so much stronger. I didn't expect that, but the ballet gave me a very strong sense of body awareness, and it made my martial arts stronger. It made me more flexible. And I came to L.A. as a dancer, and I danced professionally for a while. And then I got a record deal, and then after that, I became an actor. And because my martial arts was strong and my technique was clean, through both great, incredible martial art teachers that never gave up on me, and through dance instructors who also never gave up on me, those things actually helped. My ability to express movement through my body gave me an edge, and it allowed me to do a lot of action movies. So I did a ton of kickboxing movies and a ton of action movies, and I actually got into motion capture as well later for, you know, tons of video games. I've been everything from Magneto and Wolverine to Prototype 2 to, as you know, Godzilla, and I worked on Green Lantern and worked on Avatar, and those things were motion. As an actor, I got to work on Conan. I got to work on The Punisher Warzone for Marvel. I got to work on a whole bunch of incredible stuff, Star Trek, a lot of wonderful, wonderful projects. So I get to use my skills that started in the martial arts and started in the dancing, and I grew them from there.
Very now, which cool. Star Trek were you on? Because I just worked security for a Star Trek thing that went on at the Alex Theater here in Glendale.
Oh, yeah, they're fun. Those are wild. The Trekkies are an awesome, dedicated group. I absolutely love it. Trekkers, mm-hmm. I should say.
Oh, yeah. I saw Spice Williams Crosby was there, which I've known for a few years. I also saw Lieutenant Uhura was there.
Yeah,
oh.
She's amazing. She's amazing.
I always thought she was taller. She was like 4'11". Great lady.
Tiny. She's so tiny.
She is, but I guess she was standing up on that platform on the Enterprise and made her look so much taller.
Yeah, and she's statuesque. She is statuesque. I have to say that. She carries herself so well that she appears much bigger than when you actually stand next to her. But it's amazing. She's a very statuesque, very proud woman, and she was a role model to so many people who hadn't any at that time. So was, I can't remember his name right now. The Japanese Japanese
George
guy.
Takei?
George Takei. He's another. That amazing voice and his proud, statuesque bearing. He's mm-hmm. he's a great actor, and he was a great role model at that time.
Absolutely, and his range was so wide. It wasn't, and he didn't seem like he was typecast.
Not at all.
I was interviewing James Liu a few years ago, when he first cut his hair, because you know he had that long shoulder length hair. I said, James, what
great
happened? And he says he was being because of his hair, because of the roles he was playing, he was being typecast as a bad guy. So he cut mm-hmm. his hair off. All of a sudden, he started playing cops.
Very tough.
Now, Michael, are you the only writer on this film, or do you have a group?
Well, there's a friend of mine who basically worked on the initial draft, which is a guy named Adam Marsh, who I was part of a writing group called the Burbank Eight. And then we were a group of writers that would share each other's scripts and make creative notes and all that kind of stuff and just try to bring out the best of everybody. And I met him in there, and you know, and we got along and had a lot of laughs. So, you know, every so often when I do a script, and if I'm juggling multiple things, I lay it all out and then say, hey, can you take scene 10 through 28, you know? And then he pumps that out and does, does that, and then I go back in, and then I kind of, you know, make it more what I want exactly. But now we, you know, can work like that.
Oh, very cool. Now, are you a I don't know why this hasn't been asked before. Are you a martial artist yourself?
No, I took when I was probably 8, you know, like some Shotokan classes, but, you know, I really wasn't that good. I could kick, but I really wasn't that good. So, you know. I just, you know, and it's one thing I should have gone back, but at that point there, you know, we were moving around a lot, so me trying to get there from somewhere else became a little more complicated.
Very cool, very cool. Now, being that you're not a martial artist, is there more free-flowing, because you know how accomplished that your cast is. I mean, they are very accomplished, very good martial artists. So do you let them free flow, or do you have an idea of what the technique should look like, or are you just saying, James, you handle everything?
Well, I mean, I'm taking care of, I mean, let's just say the movie is 90 minutes long, and let's just say that 75 of it is traditional movie, and then 15 minutes of it is action, you know what I mean? Let's just say, and that's why, you know, I said, hey, James, Lou, please, buddy, can you help me out with this part, because this is not my specialty. So that's one thing I made clear from, you know, from the start. I mean, action I've done in increments within the last four movies I did, you know. So I've done a little bit of it, but very small scale. So, you know, the one thing that I've learned in life is, you know, bring in people that are better than you are at certain things and let them do their thing. And so I'm happy for it. Yeah, you know, because that there helps. That helps the movie.
Very cool. Now, Rusty, of course, when I get excited like this, I dominate the conversation. What questions or what interests are you having in what we're talking about?
Oh no, don't worry about it, bro. As you know, I've got like that crazy migraine and like talking and that laughter that I did earlier that made my head pound. So I'm just sitting here trying to sit very still. So,
can I ask you guys a question?
Sure.
You guys do martial arts as well. I was just curious what martial arts you guys train.
Go ahead, Rose. See you first.
Oh, well, I started in Botokukan Karate when I was about 8 years old.
Cool.
Got my black belt in 1982, and since then I got into Kaijukenbo. So I studied. I got into the Chunfa branch of Kaijukenbo, and then later on One Hop Kendo. Through my Sifu Terry Faircloth and Sifu Aldakaskus, the founder of One Hop Kendo.
Oh,
yay!
Wow, nice.
Yeah.
And I still
keep in touch with those guys and still practice. I prefer to take people down rather than being taken down these days, but apart from
absolutely. I understand that.
Right? But I also do Chen style Tai Chi and Wushu. I used to do competitive Wushu, and I retired from competition in 2001. And so now I'm just coaching Wushu and Tai Chi and teaching a blend of Kaijukenbo and Dose Pares Eskrima. So
beautiful. Nice. Really nice.
Yeah. So that's what I do. And Bob, over to you.
It's funny, you don't like being taken down, but you're just so close to the ground already.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. See, that's going to start something.
Okay.
She's like, bite me. I was a Jeet Kune Do student, a Kali practitioner under the late Ted Lukai Lukai.
I started
Okinawa Te Karate with George Murzynowski and Wing Chun under the same. But, I studied under Mark Stewart in Chinatown, his Jeet Kune Do, under, of course, Guru Tet system of Jun Fan and Jeet Kune Do, as well as the Serrata Eskrima.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful. So you guys have you really have a passion for the martial arts, and I love that you guys have put this radio show together for a place, for an outlet to talk about it and have people, you know, chime in and ask questions and share it, because it's such a small community, as we saw at the Dragon Fest. It's worldwide, but at the same time, it's a tight family, and it's beautiful to share the arts. They're a living art, and I personally don't feel that they translate well to books. I have always loved, although I've gotten tons of books and I've tried to learn from them, I've always loved learning in person and feeling the art and watching the art and, you know, living the art, and I think this is a wonderful way to continue to share that. And I just want to thank you guys for this opportunity to talk about the martial arts kids and to also talk about the martial arts and the stuff that we love.
Well, it's
our pleasure.
My friend, we are so honored to have you guys, just some of the accomplished martial arts and nice people around. When James Wilson had approached me and at a martial arts history museum event, he said, would you do this? I said, for you, what? Are you kidding me?
Right.
Of course.
Awesome.
It was like... Twist my arm, please. After you tell me who you want on which show, they're there. Absolutely. Whatever you want.
Yeah,
just a quick note about James. Just a quick note. I don't know if you guys said this earlier or not, but he's one of the producers of the Martial Arts Kid, and he has been tireless absolutely tireless and energized to make this project happen alongside Michael Baumgarten. And they've been going at it nonstop. And it's through them, primarily through them alone, that this has gotten the momentum and the heat that it's gotten. And it's because of them that we're going to be shooting this film over the next few months. So I'm really looking forward to it. And I want to thank James Wilson and Michael Baumgarten because they're the force behind this. And it's really great to work with people who love and have passion for a project.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Wow.
That, yeah. Hear that, James. They're saying really nice things about you.
Can I tell one story about TJ?
Please do. I want to hear it.
This has nothing to do with eating San Francisco, right? Because I didn't do that.
No, not at all. You said you'd never mention that. Here's the thing. While we were in Detroit, one of the things I saw was, you know, there was a whole group of people that were off to the left side, and everybody is basically, they do their thing, and they're over there. And then there were these two kids that came up to him, and basically they wanted to talk to him and everything, and they wanted to, you know, to basically to show, you know, just like to show their form. And TJ, away from the crowd, away from the cameras, away from everything, just completely was focused on helping them out in the most sincere way. And that is a thing that those kids will remember for a long time, because it was something that was coming from the heart and was pure. And that's the one thing that I saw. And I think, you know, when I think of Storm, that's what I think of. I think of, like, somebody that really, really, this is the walk he walks 24/7, you know? And to me, I'm just blessed that I get to call him a friend.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
Well, and anybody out there, if you ever see TJ Storm, approach him. Ask for his autograph. Say hello, because he will stop what he's doing to talk to a fan, to talk to a person.
Hey, guys, there's an earthquake hitting Los Angeles right now.
Yeah.
What?
So there's an earthquake.
There's a serious earthquake
serious?
Just hit. That was bananas.
Yeah, no, I just felt it shake.
I'm watching my television, like, shake.
So just like
I can hear every pet in the neighborhood. Still shaking.
Whoa. Holy moly.
Yeah,
live. Live on Dynamic Dojo. There is an earthquake in L.A. So now I'm curious.
I'll say
I
it was a 3.4, maybe a 3.6.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm in Hollywood. It's not that bad. So it's not that bad here, though. Subsided.
We're all good.
You guys okay? You know, stuff like this, and I know this is kind of like off topic, but stuff like this is actually making me start to worry, because there was the one up in up here in the Northwest, closer to Vancouver Island or Canada, up on, you know, not too far from me. And then there was one in Oregon, I think, a couple weeks ago. And then, of course, then there's you guys. I mean, that, I guess that's par for the course, right? And, you know, and Seattle sits on a plate. So it's kind of like, really? Really, when stuff like this happens, like too far or too close together, it starts to make me wonder.
Yeah, it gives you a case of the nerves. You start wondering, looking for patterns.
Yeah, and let's see. I'm looking at the. It says here that there was like a. There was a 1.0 about 3 hours ago. So they haven't gotten this one up on the internet yet, this last one that just happened. But wow, well, that's interesting. Earthquake, that just happened live.
That's
how you end the show. That's how you bring it.
Yeah, and now Michael's back.
Yes, I'm back.
Yay. So I do have a question now that the earthquake is over. I hope there's going to be no aftershocks or anything.
yes.
Well, so if you guys, like, drop the phone and start running, I'm kidding. But, TJ, throughout your career, who would you say is one of your biggest influences?
You know, I got to say, as far as the influence, there's been a few. I mean, for acting style alone, I love Robert Downey Jr. He's fluid and he's quick and he's smart, and I love that about him. But I, to be honest, I grew up watching Chinese kung fu movies, and although I love the artistry that somebody like Robert Downey Jr. or Jeff Goldblum bring to the screen, that brilliance, that stuff is in the mind. When I grew up, I was watching Chinese kung fu movies, and that stuff was in the heart. That stuff made my imagination come alive and made my heart burn to want to be a hero. I could go outside and pick up a stick and pretend it was a Tai Chi sword and fight a battle against 40 guys, and I could try to roll on the ground and pretend it was a front flip and stuff like that, and I absolutely love that. So I grew up watching all these incredible martial artists. Most of them, I wouldn't be able to pronounce the name or know their name had I tried to be able to say it, but also Bruce Lee, because he was so widespread and such a superstar, I was magnetized by his energy and his charisma and that passion for the martial arts. I love that. When I was a little bit older, he was who I was watching. Then after that, it was Jackie Chan, who was a monster of nimbleness and acrobatics and showmanship. He was a brilliant showman. He mixed comedy with action. And I thought, that is incredible. That's awesome. And the stuff that he did was absolutely amazing. And then later, the modern kung fu movies, like Once Upon a Time in China, starring Jet Li, or Sammo Hung, or Donnie Yen, these guys blew my mind. And that stuff was pure art. It was absolutely gorgeous. If you're watching Wong Fei Hung or Once Upon a Time in China or Tai Chi Master or one of those films, they're pure art. They're absolutely gorgeous. And I think they're the precursor to our superhero movies. They flew through the air and they did all these amazing things, and they made you believe that people could do super things.
Mm-hmm.
Before we were doing it well, they were doing it for a long time, and that stuff just made me come alive and made me want to tell those kind of stories.
Very cool. Very cool. Michael, same question for you. Who do you find are some of your biggest influences in your career?
You know, for me, I just, some of the old Westerns were fun for me, like the Trinity movies. I don't know if you guys know them or not, but there was a bunch of them. There were this whole series of films starring a gentleman by the name of Terrence Hill, and those were just crazy. I just loved them. Very offbeat and just a heck of a lot of fun. So has anybody here seen those movies?
I know those are. I've never heard of this.
Trinity, it is spaghetti westerns from Spain, and they're funny as hell, just amazing. So it was one of those things where, you know, me and a friend of mine named Russ, we used to sit around every weekend, and we would have, like, you know, beans, because it's a western, and sandwiches, and we would basically almost, like, rough it while watching these movies. So that there was cool, and those were fun. And of course, like, because I was in the theater with my mom, I was just watching everything, you know, Jaws and all these movies from back then. And then basically I worked nights for like a few years, so during the day I was just renting movies left and right. And then when in Los Angeles, I became a director of acquisitions. So my job was to watch 200 movies a year, and also to go to Sundance and Slam Dance and all these festivals looking for movies to buy. So there's all kinds of movies. I'm not, like, you know, just in one genre or anything just like that. I really just love movies.
Oh, very good.
Now, Michael, did you say it before that the Martial Arts Kids is on Union?
It's SAG.
Oh, it is SAG. Okay. I wanted to know the difference, because I know that, you know, TJ is SAG. I think Matthew's SAG and Tara. But what about, like, Orlando? Was he tapped hardly in? How does that work out when you don't have everybody that's union?
Well, you know, I mean, because you can have somebody that's on a stage, and if somebody mentions them by name because they are themselves, isn't that a bit of a loophole?
Oh! Okay. And that's is that the reasoning behind him playing himself?
Well, if somebody mentions him by name and he doesn't say anything, that's kind of a help, right?
Yeah. very. Is everybody else pretty much saying?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So that is the thing, you know, because the point was to put him in the movie and to make sure that, because we wanted to do a movie with a bunch of our friends, you know, to get a lot
sure.
of people, you know, that are friends and everything that, you know, we, you know, like that we've supported throughout the years and they supported us. So we wanted to just, you know, do whatever we could to just make a movie with a bunch of friends. And we have a lot of friends and, you know, some, and we can't put, and, you know, we can't put them all in. So that's why we got to make a sequel. So we got to make a so we can put more of them in.
Exactly. Now, an industry question: if let's say Orlando decides but gets bitten by the acting bug, is he eligible for SAG being in a union movie, even though he plays himself?
Well, right now I want to just focus on the day, so you know, I'm not cross that bridge just yet. But basically, you know, I know that he will be amazing because I met him back in Atlantic City probably about 4 months ago. And, you know, and then but I was behind the camera, so he really didn't meet me. So, you know, I was behind it, so I just, you know, kind of stuck back there, and that's where I kind of prefer to be. So we met briefly there. So, but I think that with him, he's got such a strong presence. I think that he can do pretty much whatever he wants to do. So, you know, it's just a question of what does he want to do.
Right. Now, question for you guys. How did the locations get chosen for this film?
Well, I've taken 2 trips to Cocoa Beach in the last 6 or 8 months, and I've gone down there. I got lost. I found a zoo. So I put the zoo in, you know, in just like the film. And everybody down there has been super, super cooperative. And then there's the Cocoa Beach Pier, which I looked at probably last October, which has now been bought. So I had to deal with finding out who we have to get permission from. And it just turns out, just by sheer happenstance, back when I was a PA on an MTV show for spring break, like 1990, is a good friend of mine named Larry, who lives in Orlando and is part of the film community there. So I said, hey, you know, I'm going to be doing this thing. I'm going to be shooting at the pier. And it just turns out that somebody that Larry knows is friends with the family that just bought the pier. And it just was one of those things. And if you ever saw a movie called The Queen of Versailles, where they were building a 90,000 square foot house, that's the family that just bought the pier. So they are basically being so kind, and they're allowing us to shoot on the pier. And it was just the thing where, you know, we just got a hometown discount, you know, for like the most part. So we're very, very thrilled that she's allowed us to shoot on the pier.
That is very good. Now, I because I know where the Wilson brothers are from, it had nothing to do with that being their hometown then.
Oh, it absolutely did. In other words, because it was a thing where, you know, Don's done so many films, and I am originally from the Keys and also from Orlando. And, you know, I've never gone back as a producer to make a movie back in Florida, although I certainly would like to do more. Then it was a chance for me to create something that I could then go, look, if we do this and we do it down there, you know, we can shoot wider instead of having to kind of do everything kind of tight in Los Angeles. We can actually open up the lens, open up everything. And that was a chance for us to go down there. And, you know, just by me doing an open call about a month ago, we had like close to 300 people show up that were happy to be in this movie. And, you know, it wasn't just for the money or anything like that, just for the, you know, experience of it. And there was just a line of, you know, kids and teenagers and adults and grandparents. Everyone was looking to be part of it. And, you know, the local news was there. They shot us and they did like a couple of stories. You know, we do a movie in Los Angeles, nobody cares. You know what I mean?
Right. You know, I live in Burbank. That's like the media capital of L.A. is Burbank right here.
Yeah.
Where are you getting shooting in L.A.?
We're going to shoot at a martial arts facility that's in the West Valley. So we're going to shoot there. We're also going to shoot we also got a restaurant scene. We're going to shoot in North Hollywood. And basically there's one more. But for the most part, we're shooting it all there.
Very cool. You need any walk-ons or anything, just let me know. But they tell me I've got a face for radio. That's why we do this show.
Well, you know what, though? There is a Halloween party. So that'd be perfect. See? That would be awesome.
See, you could wear a costume, Bob, and you'd be all set. They can be good.
I don't believe that Michael just took a shot at me like
that. No, not like that. You really feel that way. That's perfect.
If you run short of walk-ons, let me know. I live in Burbank. I'm right close to any part of the valley. It's really near me.
That's the place we'll be in North Hollywood. So we're going to film there. It's a place called Victoria's.
Is that the one with the chef as the logo on Victory?
Yep,
Burbank?
Exactly.
Okay.
There you go,
I know exactly
Bob.
Where that is.
There you go.
That's it. Because it's
welcome
by a friend of mine.
Cool. There you go, Bob.
Very cool.
See? We're making it
happen. Yeah, see? Very cool. Well, we are getting really close to the end of our broadcast session, so just one more question for each of you. We'll start with TJ. TJ, what advice would you give to kids that want to get into acting?
It depends why they want to do it. If they just want to be famous, there's easier ways. But if they absolutely love acting, if they love make-believe, if they love fantasy and telling stories, then I say chase it with all of your heart and be prepared to make it your life. Aside from that, I would say two things. Study acting and study business. If you don't know one of those two things, you won't do well in this business, I don't think. People will take advantage of you, or they won't take you seriously. If you don't have the talent and the skill, they won't take you seriously. And if you have the skill but you don't have the mind to back it up with business, you won't get very far, and they'll still take advantage of you. So I just say be prepared. Just like all martial artists, be prepared. Do your studying before you need it, and then when it comes time, you'll be ready.
Awesome.
Nice. Wow, great advice.
And, I know. That's awesome. And Michael, what about, you know, if there are any young people that want to get behind the camera when it comes to the film industry, what advice would you give the youngsters?
Well, it's never been easier just to make movies. So that's what's great. So without the expense of actual film and just being able to shoot on pretty much anything, and with an Apple computer, I mean, it's amazing. I basically recently directed two pictures back-to-back. I shot one in 11 days and one in 8.5 days, shot with DSLR cameras that I bought at Best Buy, and both of them sold. So, you know, the tools that are out there now, you know, can pretty much make anybody a filmmaker if you have a story to tell, and as long as you got good post-production, of course, which, you know, makes it more professional. It's amazing the fact that I could in this day and age now make a HD movie on a DSLR that you can buy at Best Buy for $7.99, which comes with at least one lens, and get two of them, and then you got an A cam plus a B cam, and the fact that you can get a zoom recorder, because the DSLRs don't record sound well, so you get a zoom recorder, which now costs about $299, and you've got, you know, 24-bit professional audio. It's amazing what you can now do. So if somebody's just got a couple of grand, and, you know, they can now make a wonderful little short to start out, perhaps expand it to movies, feature length, or any kind of show they can throw up on YouTube. So they can do so much if they want to basically work on their skills.
Very cool. You hear that, youngsters?
Awesome.
Study and go for it. Chase it.
And keep
Yeah.
Film.
And keep,
because
yeah.
Because you learn by making mistakes, and then you don't make those mistakes twice.
That's true. Bob, do you have any last questions for TJ and Michael?
No, what a great show. In fact, somebody commented on Facebook that they were actually running on the treadmill as they were listening to our show.
Really?
Nice. Yes.
How cool is that? Right on. Well, thank you so much, TJ and Michael and Orlando, who had to leave our conversation earlier. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us.
No, and thank you. You know, this has been a great opportunity, and it's been fun talking to you guys. It was wonderful
to
meet you at the Dragon Quest as well.
Yeah, it was
fun
meeting you, too. And, you know, TJ, you were close. You said you had predicted the earthquake being a 3.4. It was a 3.7.
Ah.
3.7. Nice. Now, where's Westwood Village down there?
Oh, wow, really? It was in Westwood Village.
Yeah,
it was
that's
like,
where UDLA is.
Santa Monica.
Oh, okay.
Right next to Beverly Hills, I think.
Oh, okay. It was about 3 miles northwest of Westwood Village because, well, we have a Westwood Village here in Washington. And I was like, wow, they have a Westwood Village. That's awesome. So, well, that was exciting, the earthquake and having you guys on air with us. Thank you so much again. So, have a great rest of the weekend, you guys. Thanks so much.
I can't wait for the film to come out. Both of you guys are going to do
amazing. It's going to be amazing. It will. We so can't wait. We'll be following the, me and Bob will try to follow the, I guess, the process while you guys are doing it. And wish you guys all the best and looking forward to its premiere.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
I hope you guys invite us back after it comes out.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, keep us in the loop. We'd love to come down and possibly do a live show right there on the carpet and talk to you and everybody else. I think that'd be great. All right,
great.
Well,
thank
listeners,
you.
Thank you
amazing.
So much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, bye-bye.
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 Now.
Bye, you guys.
And that, bye.
Thanks, TJ.
And that was TJ Storm and Mr. Michael Baumgarten from the upcoming film, The Martial Arts Kid. We also had Orlando Rivera joining us. He had to leave the show a little bit earlier. But, wow, great show. What do you think, Bob?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. We had, you know, William Christopher Ford calling in. That guy who had no reason to call us. We had, wow. We had, of course, Shion Jacob Pressler, Shion Alan Woodman call in. You know, it's funny. They called before the guests were on and then hung up right when they got on. I thought they were calling to talk to the guests, right?
Yeah.
What a wonderful show. We have one more show about the Martial Arts Kid, and I don't know when we're going to do that. I was thinking next week, but now they're talking about filming next weekend.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the 7th and the 8th, they're going to film it. But we'll figure something out. We always have great forums or guests on the show. So tune in next week, everybody, and we'll see everyone next Sunday at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Bye, everybody.